The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert. I'm here with Dr. Jason Berkley. We are fresh off a Ducks event. I'm wearing my Ducks.
Yes, you are.
Hoodie today.
Yeah.
It's not really a pullover hoodie, though. That's a zip up in the front. I don't know what this is. Anyway, it was a great event. I was happy to have you there. What'd you think about the Ducks?
Thank you for inviting me. You know, I mean, obviously I'm not a fan of the team, but the players were literally the nicest guys around. I had a good time mingling, although it was real disconcerting for me because, you know, as I'm almost 6'7", I'm about 215, 220. So I was bigger than just about everybody on the team.
You
were. And so for me, I said, hey, I could hang with these guys, but we were not on skates or in pads. So it would have been a different story.
Yeah, I think skates and pads, you'd be singing
a
different tune.
Makes a little
tune.
Bit of a difference, yeah. And it was funny because you and I were talking to Derek Grant for a few minutes. And, you know, we were talking. And he said, hey, he goes, you're a pretty big guy. You play. And I said, well, no, I'm too old. And also, if you saw Happy Gilmore, I don't skate as well as Happy Gilmore. He started laughing. He goes, well, how's your shot? I go, about the same.
There you go.
So, but very nice guys. And I was especially pleased. Ryan Getzlaff, nicest guy on the planet.
He was very cool.
And we're talking to him. We were talking about just random stuff, real estate, whatever. But you had to like my line that I used.
No, I know. I think he kind of liked it, too.
He was cracking up.
Yeah.
So I said to him, for those obviously who weren't there, which was everybody else except for Jay, I said, you know what? You're such a nice guy. I'm sorry. I need to apologize for you. He said, for what? I said, I have to apologize for everything I said and yelled at you in Game 7 of the 2013 playoffs when you were playing my Red Wings. And he goes, oh, you're a Wings fan? And he turned his back
to me. Yeah, that was it. Then it was over.
Then it was over. But then he started cracking up. He goes, I forgive you. Don't worry. I heard you. I know what you said, but I forgive you. But
he also said, I've been called a lot worse.
Yeah,
sure.
I was called a lot worse.
Well, you know, the thing about Getzlaff, though, is he's a consummate player. He can go both ways in defense, offense. He's an amazingly strong player, and he definitely will throw down. I do see him in that. But he said, oh, I don't spend a lot of time in that box. I see Getzlaff in that box as much as anybody else. And he does go after he'll go after him. I saw, you know, Getzlaff and going after Crosby when they beat the Pens in Pittsburgh. And he's not shy about it.
So
he'll throw down.
If you're listening, Ryan, I am a Getzlaff fan. I'm going to say it right now.
There you go.
With no reservations. I also had an opportunity to speak with Cam Fowler, which was great.
A hometown Detroit boy.
Farmington Hills, Michigan. And I had an opportunity to ask him, and I also asked Ryan Kessler, because he's about maybe 3 miles down the road from where Cam and I grew up. And I asked them both the question. I said, you guys are obviously on the Ducks. You're not with the Red Wings. When you go back to Detroit or when they come here and you play them, do you ever even get a slightest pang of either regret or you feel bad for the team if you win or you score a goal on them? And both of them resoundingly said no, that they're there to win. Even Kessler looked at me with a straight face, and I thought he was going to get a little annoyed at me. But he said, I'm here to win, and that's it. And he said, it's always special when I go back there. They both said they grew up as Red Wing fans, which is obvious. But, you know, it was really insightful, and I was very glad I could talk to both of those guys. And we shared some commonalities as far as the Detroit area and our favorite foods and some other things, but it was really a great experience.
That was cool. Here's Jason with Getzlaff.
Yeah, and you can see there's some other pictures of me in there, and
you can see Jason is towering over Getzy.
Well, no, he's
for real.
I'm not towering over him as much. He's about 6'4".
He's 6'4". So he's a pretty big dude.
It wasn't, but if you saw me with some of the other guys, and you know, some of the other guys were actually like guys that were, I thought were very unassuming. You'd never think that they were hockey players.
Yeah, no, I'm
that was
well,
the thing
I mean,
too.
Adam Enrique and I look like we went to college together. Totally. Yeah. He was very cool.
Yeah.
And here's Ryan Miller, the goalie.
Yeah, Ryan Miller. I had a chance to talk to him.
That was great. We had a good chat with him.
Michigan State Spartan. We talked about Michigan State and East Lansing for a while. And
I mean, seriously, I look like I just got off, you know, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory set next to Jason. I know, exactly.
You're not an Oompa Loompa, Jay.
I think I might be. It's all right. I'm fine with that. The Oompa Loompas did hard. They were hardworking people, and they took care of business for that factory for many,
yes,
many years.
Yes, they did.
And here's Nick Ritchie, also one of my favorite players. Having a great year, by the way, Nick Ritchie. Really doing well.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, it's funny because they had just come back from losing to the Philadelphia Flyers the night before, and then they had to be at practice in the morning with their new coach because...
Yeah, they just found out that
Randy Carlyle. They fired Randy Carlyle.
Wow, how about that?
The morning of this event.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You know, okay, so something had to change.
Okay, but here's my question.
They're sucking it.
They're so, okay, yes, there's no question. They've won, what, 2 games in 56 days or whatever it is? Something like,
it's more than that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my question is this, though. I understand that a coach is obviously integral to the whole team and calls the shots, but is it always the coach's fault, or is it just he's the guy that falls to fall on the sword for the team?
I think you have to look at why the team is losing.
Okay, but is it not that the players are not executing as well? Is it not getting the message anymore? I understand why you have to fire a coach sometimes, but are they sometimes sacrificial lambs?
Yes, for okay, sure. I think in this case...
It's not the coach. It's the players.
I think there's been... Okay, so with the Ducks, and I don't want to spend the whole episode on the Ducks because we got right. other teams to talk about.
And your brother's going to yell at us again.
He is going to yell at us.
He's going to yell at you, and he's going to yell at me after that.
He wants to hear about the Florida Panthers.
Or Calgary Flames again, or Colorado Avalanche.
I don't know what he wants to hear.
The Avalanche stink now, so I don't know.
Here's the problem with the Ducks.
Yes.
45 players have been on the roster this season.
Okay.
That's a lot of changes.
Well, I think their whole misfortune began well before even the season started when Corey Perry got injured, who I met. And he's a very nice guy, and I asked him how the knee's doing. He said it's holding up pretty good. And
he just came back.
Yeah,
just recently.
Just came back. So you're talking now, this is the middle of February. So the team was already behind the eight ball when the season started.
Yes.
And it was just a calamity of errors. Just boom, boom,
Eaves was
boom.
Out. Perry was out.
Eaves, I wanted to see Eaves. He wasn't there, though.
He was not there. And then also, my wife loves Patrick Eaves. She would love to have met him, but he wasn't there. And then the Cam Fowler was out at the start of the season. Yeah, I mean it's been awful. They don't have a steady roster. They have moved through.
Speaking of Cam, by the way, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I said to him.
You do mean to interrupt me.
I know, but this is a funny story. I said to him, Cam, just do me a favor. I won't tell how I got the number. Give me the number of whoever I have to call to get you on the Red Wing uniform. I said, I will do whatever I can. I will, whatever I have to give, whatever I have to do. I said, that is my one goal right now, is to see you wearing the winged wheel. He started laughing. He said, I can't give you a phone number, but I appreciate that.
Yeah, no.
Anyway.
It's his agent. That's who you need to talk to.
I don't know who that is, but
Holland. You got to talk to Ken Holland. Do you think that the Red Wings can use Cam Fowler?
I think he'd be not just a blue chip, but I think he'd be a golden... whatever you want to say, chip, for them to continue their rebuild. That you get a guy like that to take over and run the defense, oh, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think he'd be great for Detroit, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he'd be a tremendous, beyond, I mean, he'd be just as important as a Dylan Larkin or Andreas Athanasiou in the rebuilding process.
He would
no
be.
No question.
No, it's a good idea. I mean...
sign a guy to a long-term contract and get him out there.
I think you're right.
Bring him home.
You could bring him home. Do you think you'd sign Stevie Y at the same time? Is that happening?
Yeah, my head would explode. But I talked to Ryan
like
Kessler,
Scanners.
As I mentioned. I asked him about the hip.
Just like Scanners. You ever
exactly
seen that movie?
Exactly.
Is
like
that
Scanners.
An 80s movie?
It's an 80s movie.
I think it's an 80s movie. Yeah. Scanners?
But Ryan, I asked Ryan Kessler about the hip. He said it's holding up. He goes, I'm a little slower than I used to be. And I said, you know, yeah, but you know what? I'm watching you. You're still managing to get out there. You get in the corners. You get in the puck. You're in the places you got to be still. I said, that's all that's important. And he said, I appreciate that. So none of them wanted to hit me, even though I admitted I'm a Wings fan. So it was all good.
I think Derek Grant wanted to hit you. I was thinking at one point that he was going to take a swing
at
you. I thought at one point.
No, he might have been the nicest of all the people we met. You were sitting there talking like you've known these guys forever.
I don't know them at all, actually.
No, it was nice. I was impressed to see it.
Yeah, well, I talked to Derek Grant about his trip to Pittsburgh because he did spend. So when we came back at the beginning of the season, the first thing that was noticeable to us on the Pittsburgh roster was Derek Grant in Pittsburgh. And we knew that would be good for him because we liked him a lot as a Ducks. You know, my wife and I, when we would watch Derek play, we were like, you know, this guy's got some juice. He's going to do really great. And he's moved around a lot. But we saw him maturing on the Ducks. when he went to Pittsburgh, he's come back now. He was traded back to the Berg, and he is a different guy. And that actually happened the weekend that I was in Pittsburgh. We saw Derek Grant play against Winnipeg that June 4th game on Friday night.
June 4th?
And January 4th. Oh. Not June 4th. January 4th. I was thinking he was traded in June to Pittsburgh from the Ducks, and then now back to the Ducks on January 4th. He played in Winnipeg and then was back to Anaheim. So it was good to see him back. And I asked him, what did you notice about Pittsburgh versus Anaheim in terms of the organization? He said, the thing about Pittsburgh is they expect to win. And they expect to win everything all the time, and anything less is a complete and utter failure. And it's not seen as like, we're going to get them next time. It is like a problem that they lost.
Pretty impressive.
And that's how they run the team.
Pretty impressive motto.
I thought it was awesome. He goes, and that starts with Mario, and it continues with Sid. And he said it is, you know, pervasive through that organization that winning is what this is about. And he was really specific about it. It was cool to hear him talk about it.
Nice.
I asked Sprong about that too. I said, because Daniel Sprong also came from the Penguins, and he's the only guy from the Netherlands that's playing in the NHL right now. And I said, so differences, what do you think? He goes, I'm just happy to be here. He goes, it's a totally different organization, but I have a lot of opportunity here that I did not have in Pittsburgh, and I'm glad that I can participate and help the team.
Well, the Ducks are going to need a miracle. They're in last place in the Pacific. I don't think that's going to change very much. They still have, I think, the better Red Wing record than the Red Wings, which is something to be said. But we have a little guest here. It's Gritty, freaking me out.
I know. You know why? Because he's reminding you of your nightmare.
My nightmare. If you ever have a chance, anyone out there watching the movie. Yeah, exactly. Stop it. There's a movie called.
Scared.
There's a movie called The Trilogy of Terror. With Karen Black, about a little doll that comes to life when a necklace falls off it. And I saw it when I was 7 years old, and it scared the crap out of me. And to this day, it still scares the crap out of me. So look it up.
I'm a little scared myself, that Gritty may turn into that doll.
Well,
what if that happens?
If his jersey falls off, there's going to be a problem.
It's just gross. Yeah. I really don't like Gritty.
No,
I don't.
Either.
I have a real problem with this thing. It's ugly. Scary, and he looks like he should be on the list of people that can't live in your neighborhood. I mean, really, you should know if he's there. He's bad.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
He does look like he could turn into that doll from Trilogy of Terror.
Yeah.
What if you put a knife? If you just put a knife in his hand, like, and cant up the eyebrows a little bit, it's terrifying.
Oh, and speaking of movies, I'm very, very thrilled to see the next year in 2020. Coming to America 2 is going to be released in August of 2020.
No.
Yes. Starring Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall.
No way.
And I think the plot may involve that Prince Hakim has a child that is in Queens of some sort. I don't know the exact circumstance, but that was what I heard and read. We'll have to see, but I'm looking forward to that.
That movie was hilarious.
Yeah.
Very funny.
And, of course, it's known for the... cameo by Randolph and Mortimer Duke.
Yes, of course. At
the homeless man.
The homeless guys
after he had dinner. Yep.
Another actor got their start in that movie who came in to rob the McDowells.
Yep.
Do you know who that was?
Did he also get a Royale with cheese in Pulp Fiction?
He did. He did get a Royale with cheese. That's pretty good.
Thank you.
That is not an 80s movie, though.
I know that.
Second one. That was 1991?
1994 came out. Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction in 94.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, it was Samuel L. Jackson.
He was.
And he played the person who was robbing the McDowells.
He didn't have a Royale with cheese. He had a big Kahuna burger. May I have a bite of your big Kahuna burger?
But they talked about a Royale with cheese.
He said in France, they don't have a quarter pounder with cheese.
And also at McDowell's, he had a Big Mick.
That's right. The Big Mick. It's not those people from McDonald's again. Who played the... George... who's the actor that played the father?
John Amos. He was from Good Times.
Yeah, from Good Times.
I love him.
Hilarious.
He's the best.
So funny. That was a great movie.
They have the Golden Arches. I have the Yellow M. The Golden Arcs. Excuse me.
The Golden Arcs.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was good. Oh, and who was the heir of the Soul Glow Company? Was a guy Eric LaSalle from
ER.
From ER.
Yeah.
That's right. He was good.
Let your soul glow.
Yeah. That was awesome.
All right, so we got a couple questions here. Yes, we're going to be talking about the Malkin High Stick. And I don't know if you saw my post on your wall, or it was on the Dr. Hockey Instagram or your Instagram. But so Evgeny Malkin gets tangled up, and it was against Philly, wasn't it? Yeah. And he turns around, and with a full swing of the stick, hits a guy in the face.
Yes, I saw that.
And he gets one game suspension. And I'm sorry, that is completely inexcusable. You cannot give a guy who does that type of swinging motion with a stick with the purpose of hitting someone one game. That's why this garbage and cheap shots like this and people licking players, whatever else, happens, because they don't penalize enough for that. That should be a 10-game minimum. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
That's like a slap shot when the guy gets knocked over and then the Hanson brother takes the stick and smacks him in the head with it with a full chopping motion. You can't do that.
You can do it in the movies. In the movie, you can't do it. You can't do it on the ice. No, I agree with you. I mean, I thought that was a egregious penalty.
Yeah.
And by the way, they were up like 4-1 or something.
What's he getting all pissed off about?
I don't know. I'm not sure what the issue
is. Game, though? He's got that in his pocket waiting in the locker room. He said, oh, yeah, here you go.
Yeah, no, I know. That was no money for him to give up.
It's a worthless penalty.
$51,000?
Whatever it is. Yeah, I think so. It's a worthless suspension and didn't teach him a damn thing and, you know, didn't make a difference. I think they should absolutely have gone for 10 games in this, and the league has to get tougher with that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, there's no question that Malkin is a guy that can lay it down when he wants to, but there's no reason for him to be slashing.
And then 10 games hurts the Penguins more than...
Well, 10 games would have killed him.
Yeah.
That would have killed him for sure. But, you know, so when's he suspended? The next game?
I don't know. I'm assuming.
I'm not sure when that'll be. Thornton milestones. Did somebody ask about that? Joe Thornton? Yeah, I mean, Joe Thornton, like, is tearing it up. He passed Gordie Howe in assists.
Yeah.
And I think next he's on the heels of Timo Solani. He's also played, it was like most games. Shahab knows this, I'm sure, by heart, because he worships at the Shark Temple.
I'm not sure, but I think he tied Solani for most games played, too.
Most games played.
Yeah.
And then he beat Gordie Howe in assists.
Yeah, correct.
Right? But Howe was not the number one. He just passed his record.
Yes, he is number 8 right now, I believe.
Right, so he's got that. And then he had some other milestone this year, too.
Was it his assists? Maybe his points? Yeah.
Yeah, so the guy's just going. He's going off the chart.
Hasn't won a cup. That's all that matters.
Where's your comeback?
Wait a minute. What's the first question that they ask anytime there's any type of NFL press when Dan Marino comes over to get interviewed?
Yeah, I know.
What did it feel like to be there and not win a cup win a Super Bowl your entire career? That's it. It's the only thing that matters. You can have all the accolades you want. Let me ask you a question. If Wayne Gretzky had all these records and had been on a team like Connor McDavid is and is floundering with the Oilers, but he had all these points, all the accolades, all the assists and everything else, had every record in the book, but didn't have a cup, would he still be the Wayne Gretzky that we know today or not?
Definitely not. No, he would be.
So Joe will always be a really good player who had a couple records, but never brought his team to a cup. And I respect for the guy. I don't like him necessarily, but I respect for him as a player, and what he's done on the ice. Don't get me wrong.
No, he's amazing.
I'm not coming down because I don't like the Sharks. Because I don't, but I'm not coming down on them. I don't like the Sharks either. That it matters what someone's legacy is when they leave the game.
I don't like the Sharks at all. I can't believe that they're doing so well.
Yeah, I despise them. But the problem is that when you have a player like that caliber, and they leave the game, and their legacy always had a little bit of an asterisk next to it because there's no title, no championship. And that's the problem.
Let's think of another player just like Joe Thornton who never won the cup, who is a massive record holder, a massive, like a player that you know who is amazing but never won a cup. Can you name one? See, it's hard because you don't know who they are, and you have to think through who it is.
Yeah, you have to think through who it might be.
You have to think through who's a record holder that never won a cup that you can, like, I mean, it's very hard to even think of.
Do you have one off the top of your head?
Can't, not at all.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone right now off the top of my head.
John Blue. That's who I'd say.
Well, he's an all around. Yeah, but he's also an all around nice guy. So, you know.
I don't know what record he holds either, but it was funny because I think Tuukka Rask is now the all time winningest goalie for for Boston.
Yeah.
And that's what John said. He sent me a text. He's like, well, looks like he beat my record. No, John Blue is one of our favorite goalies of all time, and he played for the Boston Bruins, but he did not get to Tuukka Rask's record. So, but no, I really can't think of somebody offhand where I go, oh, and that guy never won a cup.
I can think of two guys who waited like almost 20 years to win the cup. Like,
guys who waited 20 years to win the cup? Who?
Ray Bourque and Andrew Shepard.
But they won.
No, I'm saying they waited like 3 years.
You remember Ray Bourque because that, and Andrew Chuck, you remember also.
Right.
And that's the thing. You can talk about, like, you can remember great players of the NHL, like Joe Sakic and Mark Messier and these guys, because they did win a cup.
Dino Cicerelli win a cup?
Dino Cicerelli.
I don't know if he won a cup because he was actually not on the wings.
He may not have. And he has some records in terms of his rookie year for sure.
Yeah.
That's a great question. I don't know.
That'd be one player I would think comes to mind.
Can you see if Dino Cicerelli was ever on a Stanley Cup team? And I can't. No, I can't think of anybody that's like leaping to mind that I'm like, oh, great player never won a cup. Because I can remember the players that I can think of throughout the years are definitely cup winners.
Okay, well, how about this one? Jerome Iginla. Boom.
Jerome Iginla. That never won a cup.
Yeah.
Great player. Record holder?
Phenomenal player.
But not a record holder.
Yeah.
Does he have any record whatsoever that is of note?
I'd have to go look. But I'm saying but you're talking about someone who's a elite player.
I think he has a record for goals for Calgary. I think he does. He's the leading scorer of all time.
Well, record or not, he's an elite player. And so, he didn't win a cup.
Cup for Cicerelli.
Hall of Fame, though.
Is Jerome Iginla a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely, 100%.
He definitely will.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. What about, did Pat Verbeek win Pat Verbeek won a cup with Dallas.
How about this also? King Henrik
will, but he's playing. I'm talking about like Bobby Clark.
Well, it doesn't
people,
matter. It's done for him anyway. He's not going to win a cup if he stays there.
What?
So,
Lauren, what?
That was my pick.
Who, Bobby Clark?
No.
Henrik Lundqvist?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Henrik Lundqvist is still playing today.
Right, for all intents and purposes, he's not going to win a cup by the end of his career if he stays where he is. There's no way the Rangers are going to suddenly explode and become a cup contender.
I think you're wrong.
In the next 5 years.
I think you're wrong. I think
Pavel Bure.
Pavel Bure, cup winner. Pavel Bure. Doan.
Jeremy Roenick.
Shane Doan.
Shane Doan.
Jeremy Roenick.
Yeah.
Jeremy Roenick never won a cup.
I mean, again, whether record holders or not, I'm trying to list elite players at the top of the game, who just never were in the right.
Shane Doan never won a cup.
Right time, right.
Shane Doan could have asked for a trade too.
Well, okay. Let's go back to the Shane Doan thing real quick. I know we talked about it last year at some point briefly. He was given a chance where but he wanted to stay in Arizona. He said, we have something good going here. He wanted to stay. And what did the management do? They rewarded him with saying, you're done,
fired.
Buddy.
I know.
Get out.
They did.
Pack your shit and move out.
Yeah, they did.
And I'm sorry. And that's why I always said this. I said, he needed to leave when he had the chance. Because it was never going to happen with a rebuild with him. And he was, like, I think, 35, 36, whatever at the time. It was never going to happen for him. He kept thinking it was. I felt bad for him. I didn't, you know, he was a good player. He was a hard-nosed player. But, you know, that was how they get rewarded.
Yeah, Shane Doan is definitely a guy that.
And he could have been. Any other teams could have used his services with the grit, especially when it comes time for the playoffs.
He's a great player.
Yeah.
I always liked watching him.
I'm sure there's another list of
people. What about Keith Tkachuk? Did Keith Tkachuk ever win a cup?
Roberto Luongo.
Roberto Luongo has not won.
He's never going to win.
Marcus Naslin.
Naslin. Marlowe has not won a cup.
Marlowe,
he's still
right?
playing, so we could see him. But Marcus Naslin was a great player.
Paul Kariya
won a cup with the Ducks.
No, he was already gone by then.
He was gone? He was out by then?
Yeah.
So he never won the cup.
He made the cup, but he didn't win it.
Well, there's a list of players. We should probably, well, you know what we do? We do our research. We're going
to
come in with our top 10 players that we should have won the cup.
That's a great top 10 list to have.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to shift gears real quick. Just touch on the Western Conference standings right now, since we're being asked about this. But San Jose has jumped forward in the, as I call it, the garbage Pacific division, where it's basically a three-team race between them, Calgary, who I don't have a problem with, and Vegas. After that, it drops off. Vancouver, Arizona, Edmonton. Boy, Edmonton just is terrible.
Edmonton has the best player in the league.
I think that they may solve the Bermuda Triangle mystery before they're going to solve what's happening in Edmonton. I mean, this is crazy. They're going to find Amelia Earhart's airplane first before that team gets going.
I don't know what's wrong with them.
I don't understand.
I don't either. What is their problem? Seriously, let's hone in. Maybe we need to get somebody who knows something about why Edmonton is crumping, because I don't understand.
I think if someone knew that, they'd have a managerial position with the Oilers.
Yeah, I do. I think they would too, because I mean,
someone's
it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It makes no sense that that team
MX plus B makes more sense than what's going on in remember that formula?
That does make a lot of sense actually to me.
Yeah,
I'm a
me
math
too.
Guy.
Well,
yeah, so that's
there you go.
That's fine. I think the big issue in Edmonton right now is it's got to be something with the.
It's not the coach.
No, it's not the coach. They've already changed the coach. They've got the players for sure. I don't know. I don't know what it is. They just don't have it. It's got to be a chemistry issue. There's got to be a cancer on that team that isn't right. You know, I always think that, and you see it, you know, sometimes, and then that guy gets traded, and all of a sudden things are better.
We don't have enough going on over there to really make the decision.
Well, I don't know. They are, but even if you look in the Pacific Division, what if Edmonton wins three in a row? Are they in a wild card spot?
Not even close. So after Vegas, it drops off like a steep cliff where it's to Vancouver, Arizona, Edmonton, the Kings, and the Lowly Ducks. That's it for the Pacific, okay? So whoever's asking about the Western Conference, there's your Pacific Division in a nutshell. Three teams, and that's it. The Central Division, though, is a little more of a tougher race because you have Winnipeg, Nashville, Dallas. St. Louis is very close on them by 2 points, followed basically with the same amount of points, Minnesota. Colorado's only 4 points out of them, out of there. And then you have Chicago.
It's not far out.
It's not far out.
Yeah, no, I think that Central division's different.
Yeah, it gets the award for the most parity in any division. It's clearly Winnipeg and Nashville are running away with it.
Winnipeg
looks
great.
But it's that third spot and maybe even possibly one or two of the wild card spots, depending. We'll see what happens.
Well, I think I think the Jets are looking like the strong team out of the West. I think they're headed to the conference. Calgary's doing great too, but you know, I just think Winnipeg's got the size, they've got the roster. I think they've got everything they need to go to the Stanley Cup.
Well, nobody is coming close though. Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay heads
and shoulders above everybody with 86 points. And we're not even in March yet.
Kucherov is tearing it up.
Yeah,
he's unbeatable.
But we've also seen the curse of the President's Trophy. You know, that's how many times has that happened?
What's the curse of the President's Trophy? Well, oh, the best team.
It's the playoffs and then the first round.
Well, I mean that could happen, by the way, because one thing about Tampa Bay is every game they come out, they look like they're playing for the Stanley Cup, and that does wear thin, and you get tired by the time the playoffs show up.
That, and also if the coach decides to rest some of the players, you start resting some of your best players, they get out of their rhythm, the chemistry on the team starts to take a little bit of a hit, and then you got to go, okay, let's ramp it back up, and all of a sudden, you know, for playoffs, and it's not that easy.
What about this Dallas team?
Do they have any shot? Listen, we know by the Kings from 2012 that as long as you get in, any team has a shot.
That's true. And I think the Dallas is coming on right now.
Yeah, I don't think that they're a cup contender.
They're not stacked enough to go the distance.
No, I think they potentially can get out of the first round, depending who they play. But I think that whoever they play in the second round is going to just destroy them.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I mean, I like Dallas. I think that comment made by the
Lice,
by
Jim
the
Lice.
Owner.
Yeah. No, it was the VP, I think. It was
the
Jim
VP.
Lice. Yeah.
I think that did motivate Ben and...
did something.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely did, right?
Maybe more GMs or vice presidents are going to berate their players in public.
I think that may be helpful. I don't know. All right. Well, who else do we need to touch on before we wrap it up this week? Ty Domi wearing Canadiens jersey?
Oh, yeah, there was a picture with him and Max on the ice together.
Oh, my, I have no thoughts on that. Do you have any thoughts on Ty Domi's? Like, he's very retired.
The people that are in the Maple Leafs that are going to care about that. No one's really going to care about that.
No, they don't care. The Maple Leafs fans are going to care about everything.
True, but
they can't help themselves.
Are they going to start throwing Domi jerseys on the ice now?
No, probably not. But his son, Max Domi,
tearing it up.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
He's so fun to watch.
He's a fun player to watch. He's also much more of a well-rounded two-way player.
He still likes to scrap.
That's what I'm saying. He can do it all, though.
He does like to scrap, but he's a goal scorer.
Yeah.
Yeah, his dad was...
he's a much better offensive
player. I do love that one. If we can find it on YouTube, it would be great of him pulling the fan into the penalty box with him and beating the living hell out of a fan. It's awesome. I mean, this is a guy who takes no guff. That's all. You don't yell at him. I think if you saw him now, you got to be careful.
Wings up for 1-0 on the Preds.
You got it?
Take that.
Ah, there it is. See? It's a sick clip. Okay, craziest fan base in the West. It's going to be a tough one this year because in the West, the biggest, the four that I can think of offhand, Predators, Winnipeg Jets, Sharks, and the Golden Knights.
You're so far off, my friend. The craziest in the West is going to be Calgary.
What?
As far as fan base.
No.
There is nothing else to do in Calgary.
Bougie fans.
There's nothing else to do there. They
Bougie
play hockey.
Fans. They're the oil people. No.
Get out of here.
They are.
Calgary.
Too much money up there.
No. It was the Stampeders or the Rough Riders. There's two teams of the Rough Riders, right? What is it in the CFL? Calgary Stampede, isn't it? Yeah. The Stampede, whatever.
Really? You think Calgary's got a crazy fan base?
Huge crazy fan
really?
Base. Yes.
All right. I'm going to look. I could stand to be corrected on this.
That Saddle Dome there, the people there are just fanatics.
But
They don't get much attention or credit.
No, they don't.
Winnipeg is a similar situation to Calgary.
Yeah, Winnipeg fans are crazy.
Again, not much else to do there.
There is not much else to do.
But, what else is there to do? What else is there about
you can
hockey, though?
Harvest wheat?
Two more? Oh, geez. In the West or the East, doesn't make a difference. Now, how are we judging this?
This is the West one. So I said Jets, Sharks, Knights, Preds. But if I had to pick one out of my mind, I'd pick the Jets.
Sharks. What is it?
The Sharks fan base is crazy. They are nuts. They are. It's hard to play in that building. It's the loudest building in the NHL, too.
Whatever.
By far.
Need to learn the game first.
By the way, the Sharks are the most heavily, since January, are the most heavily scoring team in the NHL. They have scored more points than anybody else since January. Yeah, I know. We're watching it, Chahaba. I get it. I just don't like them. I don't. I will remind you of my elevator ride with those guys, and that's all I'm telling you. From the East, craziest fan base. It's tough because the East has some seriously crazy fan bases. I think the Penguins have the craziest fan base. They are rabid fans.
Of course you're going to say that.
Yeah, well, they are, though, and they are really...
Well, I'm going to say the Red Wings, then.
They are not the craziest fan base. No, actually, they are. No, they are. That's a pretty crazy one, but they won't be in the playoffs, so you don't even have to worry about it.
Playoff team.
Like, let's get real here, Jason. You and I are both wearing non-playoff team attire right now. We are definitely in the done in April category.
All right. Well, as far as the playoff teams right now, I'm going to just say there's no question in my mind. Toronto. That's it.
It's crazy fan base.
Drop the mic after Toronto. That's it. Yeah,
I'm not going to drop the mic, so I'm going to break my table.
No, but that's true. I mean, that fan base there. You literally had at a game with the fans inside the arena, equal if not more fans outside the arena watching the game.
Yeah, for sure. But and their fan base is insane.
Yeah,
they are nuts.
And it's been too long there since they've had a cup. So I'm going to go with
who else is going to be in the playoffs that has a crazy fan base.
Boston is not that crazy.
They're so critical of their own team.
Yeah, Boston fans are just crazy, period.
Yeah.
That's it. Crazy with a dot at the end.
Yeah, just crazy.
Yes.
Not a crazy fan base, just crazy. Yeah, but I'm telling you, the Boston fans are not, they're so critical of their team.
They've also had too much success in Boston with all their sports teams. Enough's enough. Kind of had it with them and their sports teams.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't stand that, you know, the Patriots just took another one.
Yeah, it's enough enough
it's
already.
Awful. Although that
they have six Super Bowl wins. My Lions have had one playoff win in 54 years. Okay, I've had it with this Boston City in their sports.
You can't compare Boston and Detroit with sports. Listen, it's a bad idea.
It is, but it's a
especially when you talk about football.
It's a wonderful city. I have friends there. I've been there, but I don't like their sports teams at all.
All right, so who's it going to be then? I mean, the craziest fan base
Toronto.
In the East is probably Toronto.
That's it. That's it. There's no one else.
Yeah, I'm. You know who's got a crazy fan base though? Columbus. Montreal's very critical. A little too snobby. Not ready to get up and cheer enough. No, but the Columbus crew is crazy, and now, Columbus will be in the playoffs.
Is your notion of who's coming out of the East changing with the Islanders being in first place and playing so well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Islanders are going to do very well. I think they have.
They may not be a cup team, but they're going to do some serious damage to somebody coming in.
Yeah, they are. That's they're going to take somebody important out, like a Washington or a.
They're getting past the second round, I think.
Yeah, I think they are too. Anders Lee.
Yeah.
More power to him.
Yeah, I agree.
Guys, they're just running a great show. They're Barry Trotz and Anders Lee, you know, I think are the reason that that team has run to a different level. And they're stacked. They have great talent. And lo and behold, you know, this all essentially the same team as last year without Tavares. Number one in the Metro Division. Go. So what does that say? It
says they have a great coach.
It does. That coaching change was huge. And isn't Lou Lamoriello the
GM?
Isn't he the GM? Yeah. I mean he's a genius, that guy. So life is good. All right. Well, I think that's it for this week, Jason. We got our Ducks wrap up in, and we need to see what happens.
What are the odds any of the players we met are actually listening to this?
The odds are probably
can we get a message
1 in 5,000.
I'd love for them to be able to listen to it.
We can. I mean, I'll send it over to Pronger and to, you know, they're guys we can send. Brian Allen, maybe. They're people we...
You think they were laughing? Say, hey, you see that tall Wings fan over there? He said he wanted to apologize to me. Yeah. What a dork.
I'm sure they were.
I guarantee they were laughing about
Well,
me.
I was saying that, so they must have been saying
that. Oh, thank you. appreciate that.
I didn't say that. Sean, our producer, wants everyone to know that on Monday... We're going to be talking about Tampa Bay Lightning. So that show needs to download, right, with Larry Timo. Is that correct? Yeah, so we will be talking on Monday with Larry Timo, who is a radio announcer from Tampa Bay, who I've spoken to. In fact, he and Brett Ernst called me one time when I was seeing patients because they were talking about a show in Tampa Bay with Brett, and they had me on there for like 15 minutes.
Down here.
Oh, Brett's... I just want to give a shout out to the De Gentleman Show with Brett Ernst. Have you guys seen this at all? It's hilarious. It is so the perfect vehicle for Brett Ernst. It is so worth it. The De Gentleman Show. Check it out. And that is D-E Gentleman Show. All right. Anyway, we will catch you up with you on Monday and next week.
Someone said we look like twins.
It is the we look like twins. You are a very handsome man, then. That's all I can say.
You're a really ugly dude.
All right. This is the Dr. Hockey Podcast, signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
Drink Aid is the best tasting and most effective way to help prevent hangovers. It's the fastest growing hangover prevention beverage in the U.S. and helps neutralize toxins created by alcohol, restores vital nutrients, and rehydrates the body with electrolytes. Take one 3.4-ounce bottle before or while drinking, or even after a workout, to feel great the next day. Key ingredients include potassium, B vitamins, milk thistle, green tea extract, aloe vera, and amino acids. It's not only sugar-free, but it's gluten-free, low-calorie, and it tastes great. Skeptical? Check out all the incredible reviews on Amazon, which I have, and they are incredible. It's available at many fine retailers across the U.S., including GNC, Vitamin Shoppe, as well as BevMo in California, Specs in Texas, Binny's in Chicago, and all the hottest casino resorts in Vegas,
and of course on Amazon.com and DrinkAid.com. That's DrinkAide.com. Use the promo code Hockey, HOCKEY, to get 25% off your first order of DrinkAid.com.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.